Let's see if this works.
If you're visiting, would like to welcome you to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We love that you're with us this morning. We pray that we can reach out to you and have a great time of worship together. As well, I just want to let us know that there's a couple here that is celebrating getting engaged, and they're planning to get married. And Rick and Anise are getting married on December 24th. That's awesome. It's also Black History Month, so let's celebrate that as well as we go forward, amen. And I know that some of you are looking forward to go and watch a game after this sermon. Well, the Spirit is on me and I want to speak until 7 o'clock tonight. So you better be staying here for a while. I know that Kyle is trying to leave, but I said, the Spirit is speaking. We'll be here for a long time. Well, we'll have a great time together. Amen. We will be out here in God's in good time. Well, learning to evangelize in a changing culture. You know, cultures change a lot, just like we've seen musical genres can. I mean, if you think about it, what kind of music were they playing in the 60s? What was the hip music that was playing in the 60s? 60s. Rock. Cherry rock, right? What was the famous band in the 60s? Yes. No, not jazz yet. Beatles. Okay, there we go. Run DMC. No, you're moving too far ahead this way. We'll leave it with rock and roll. That was the genre that was really playing up, and everyone was connecting to that, right? Then the 70s, what was playing? What kind of music was playing? Disco. So what bands were hitting up in the 70s? What? All of what? All right. I guess you had them. I couldn't hear them. But disco was the thing, right? The lights and all that stuff. What about the 80s? R&B, hip-hop, R&B. Michael Jackson. See? See what happens? That's culture for you. It goes everywhere. R&B was dominating. By the time we came to the 90s, what was playing? What? Okay. There she is. Everybody has a band they like. What about now? Okay. Okay. I get the point. I get the point. Everybody has a band they like, a music genre they like, the dominant ones around a certain time and period. I believe with all my heart that as a church, we got to understand that we're not doing anything new. But what we have to understand, though, the culture changes over a period of time. The Word of God does not change. It stays the same. That means the way you engage with a certain culture in the 60s was different from the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s and 2000 and going forward. It's very different. So we have to learn how the culture is changing and how that affects us as men and women that believe in God. Talk to people about who Jesus is. So in Matthew 6:22 it says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. And the way you see the world today affects how you're going to perceive them and how you're going to tell them about God. If your perception of the world is off key and doesn't see them the way God sees them, then you may be judging and putting them in a box that is making you ineffective in how you bring about the light of Jesus Christ. And I think that that's the biggest challenge we face today, that culture has changed, different mindsets. In the macro culture, the big culture of America, and even the micro culture, that it's so different, doubt on Atlanta, than it is here. The way people behave downtown is very different from the way they behave here. And it can be different from Duluth and all the way to Loganville. Slight difference in how people behave. In other words, understanding that helps you to perceive it right so that you can bring about the Word of God the way He would love you to do it and be effective. To ignore that is to set yourself up for failure. And for some of us, we don't want to evangelize at all because that is something we've lost. Not because of bad heart, but the culture changed and we fell back. And when we fell back, we didn't know how to adjust and grow and start to talk about it well. Mahatma Gandhi says this, "I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." That's an old adage that the issue has never been Jesus Christ. He's awesome. He has the answers to this world. God has the answers to every issue you have. You just need the time to connect with Him. Over a period of time, though, people that call themselves Christians have done things that are wrong. And then the world has turned around and taken that mistake and said, "See, they call themselves Christians. Why would you join them?" It was not Jesus that was wrong. It is people that had a name called Jesus that turned around and made Christianity look ugly, bird, in a way that people thought, if that is your Jesus, I don't want to come to that. And for the young people, sometimes you listen to things and they tell you, "Oh, you know, God is not good." I'm telling you, God is awesome. God is amazing. But the world would want you to think otherwise. Now, it is true. Not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. And not everybody that says, "I'm a Christian," behaves like a Christian. And that gives Christianity a bad name. And that's why Gandhi was talking like this. But how do we respond when we get to hear these kind of things? How do we respond as Christians? One, we get more churchy. We try to be more like the world. In other words, as Christians, sometimes we talk way more about the church and less about Jesus. We talk about the church does this, the church does that, the church. Well, we are called to Jesus Christ. We're not called. We start with Jesus. We start with God. And the church will reflect Jesus Christ. When we do not come to Jesus and we're so much concerned about how the church looks like and all that, sometimes what we're doing is we're trying to cater to the world and not preach Jesus. Does that make sense? You see, if we will be following up and understanding in depth in the following weeks. And this month, I'll spend a lot of time just talking about how to share Jesus with the world. Does that make sense? And in the course of the midweeks, we'll have family, youth and family messages that John will bring us so we can talk through that as well as we work together with our children. So if we react by being churchy and more like the world, we'll lose ourselves. We'll lose identity. You know, if you call yourself a Christian, you're not supposed to be trying to be more like the world. You just need to be a Christian. There's no apologies about that. Not judging the world, not putting it down. Showing who Jesus is to the world. And sometimes we lose our identity because of all this stuff. Matthew 6:10 says, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That the role of a Christian is to do God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's your role. That's my role, to do God's will. And to be comfortable in that, to accept that we are God's children, this is who we are. Not to put down and be condescending to the world, but to love God and show the world how God loves them. Sometimes what we can tend to do is to devalue the world, put it down. That is not how you reach out to the world. We need to show Jesus Christ. Not devalue the world. We're not in the business of putting them down and how useless they are. We're in the business of saying, this is Jesus, and this is His will, and how different it is. Jesus loves everyone. But as we love Jesus, the changes we make because we're in love with Jesus. So we change. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. We change because he first loved us, that he gave his son for us. And we see clearly that if that is the case, why not? Why not give back to him? Why not love him? But if we get in the business of devaluing and fighting the world, that is not our place. God deals with that. Our place is to show Jesus in our lives. And that will show in your workplace. That will show in your neighborhood. That will show in your parenting. That will show how you treat your spouses. That will show in small, small things how you treat people. Jesus will come out. In the phone calls, Jesus will come out. But when we become too much like the world, Jesus is lost. What difference are you? And we've got to get this one right. So it's God's will that needs to be done. For that to happen, how people experience you matters. Do you realize that you have a trail? Like just when you're on the internet, there's a footprint you leave. Emotionally, as you walk around the world and as you talk to people, there's a trail. There is a way we can say, let us look at your trail. Have you been touching people in a godly way, or have you made the church or God so unattractive? What is your trail? Are you angry, upset all the time? Are you judgmental, negative all the time? Are you competitive all the time? What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? You are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside, you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. We have to understand this, that Jesus had strong words for Pharisees, people that went to church. These were not people that didn't believe in God. They did. But their biggest issue was they focused so much on the outside, they forgot the inside. And that is a big issue for all of us today, because sometimes we are working so hard to smile, to have a face of church, to be nice. But who are you away from this gathering? Who are you away from this gathering? What do you tell your spouse when no one is hearing? Who are you in your workplace? Who are you in your neighborhood? Who are you in the malls? Does someone tell, can someone look at you and say, "Whoa, my goodness, this is a different person. Oh my goodness, he's just like me." People experience you. How do they experience you? I remember once going to pick a sister from the airport. She was coming. I didn't have a number. I didn't have her. For some reason, I was the only guy with a car that could go get her. She's a disciple. I don't have a number. I don't have anything. And I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? So I go to the airport, and I'm standing there, and I'm writing there. I said, I think I need to write disciple. And it's just, that maybe will work. And, you know, in the old ways, that's how you did it. You may be wondering, what are you talking about? For the young people back then, there were no cell phones. You went to the airport to get someone. You stood out there, and hopefully they knew who you were. But here's the thing, is I figured you can tell a disciple by just how they conduct themselves. And honestly, she came about, I didn't have the disciple sign out. She was joyful. And I walked up and says, "Are you a disciple?" That's how I figured out. He says, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I am from Nairobi Christian Church." He said, "Wow, I came to pick you up." And that's how we connected. In a sea of human beings, she stood out for her joy. I was looking out for joy. Because a lot of people come, leave the plane angry and tired. And they're just like, "Oh, I got to get home. I'm tired. I'm miserable." What's your wake? What's your wake? If we look behind, what was your wake this week? Do people experience Jesus with you? Now, we're not perfect, but we've got to grow. How are we parenting? What's awake there? Are we judgmental, put downs, or do we bring Jesus up? It's an inside story, brothers and sisters. We've got to fix the inside. The outside needs to be taken care of, but the inside first. And that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisee. Take care of your insides, your outsides will come together. If you ignore your insides, it'll destroy your outside. You can polish the outside all you want. The insides always win. You want to win, get the insides going the right direction. Submit that to Jesus, and everything turns around. But we are afraid to look at the insides. And the world sees that and says, why would I be a Christian? Because the insides are no better. These guys are just pretenders. They're just like us. People experience you. And that's very important. Ask yourself how people are experiencing you. And how different will you be? Let's talk about this for a moment. What is the contrast compared to the world? The world will go to... The contrast, the world trusts in power, control. We go to the cross. We deny ourselves. That's where we go. The world says, power, I got it. No, we're going to deny ourselves. If you want to help anyone to know God, deny yourself. If you want to change anything, deny yourself. Change. Don't go with your feelings. Too many people are living a life that says, I feel like this, so I must be this. I say, no, that may be an inclination. But what you need is to deny yourself and come to Jesus, and he will lead you. There's nothing we are going through that is new in the world. What God is saying, even though you may have that inclination, I can help you. I can help you with that inclination and turn around. You may have an inclination towards anger. I can help you overcome that. You may have an inclination about X, Y, Z. I can help you turn around. That's what he's saying about. So we go to the cross. Contrast. What is our aim? Our aim is not to get a good house and a good wife and everything is done. That's not our aim. We want to get to heaven. We don't live for just today. We live for way beyond ourselves. So we invest in our children, yes. We invest in the kingdom, yes. We touch people, but it's all about God. It's nothing about us. Does that make sense? And if we don't get that right, then we become like the world. We settle for just being like everything around it. We want to fit in and blend in. That's not where we want to go. The scope, I mean, our scope is everywhere. The scope of the world is tribal. If you don't think like me, then you're not part of my friendship. It starts early. The young kids are going through it in school. If you don't come from this neighborhood, it's all status, status, status. If you do this, if you do that, you're not like me. We go the whole world. That's our scope. The whole world, we want to talk about Jesus. That today you can go all the way to India and you'll find a brother and sister that you've never met, and you talk to them and they'll love you because of Jesus. That you will live today and go to a place like Egypt and find brothers there worshiping in Christ, and they'll talk to you. In Dubai, they will talk to you. That you will go to Europe and find brothers and sisters there, and you go to Central Africa, you'll find them there. The scope is way bigger. It's not this tribal thing that we click together. Same race, same tribe. No, we go everywhere. That's the contrast of the kingdom of God. Our response. We don't go an eye for an eye. We forgive. We forgive. That is something. That we go through stuff, but we forgive. An eye for an eye doesn't go anywhere. Our battles. We don't take on guns and all that. We take on prayer. We take on fasting. We take on relationships as our way of dealing with things. This is a contrast. But if you think about it, how are you battling your life spiritually? How are you doing it? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Or are you going the world way? You've got to ask yourself that question. We are able to be radically different and call the world to Jesus. Let's talk about this. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or any or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols, you will have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive or is a drunkard or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. That the context of what Paul was telling the Corinthians church is that if someone calls themselves a Christian and they're doing all these things, they should not sit with them or associate with them. In other words, as Christians, then our goal, the way we win the world, is that we're going to go to live in the world. We'll be in the neighborhood as Christians. We're not forcing them, but we're showing them this is the way of God. We're going to be at the workplace. We're Christians. We're not forcing them, but this is the way of God, and we want to influence them. That we're going to go to places and say, this is the way of God. We don't avoid them, but we talk to them about God. Amen? Having said that, it doesn't mean then that I want to win people. I'm not going to go to the discotheque to try to win them. It doesn't work like that. I'm going to be a Christian, radically different, to win them to Christ. I mean, let's face it. Do you find yourself caught up in gossip easily? You just start firing the gossip story. Yeah, I heard. You know what? And you pass it on. I heard. Before you know it, you're part of the gang that does the I heard story. And that destroys relationships. And people don't want to be a part of that. So in the world, you have to be different, radically different. Do you take sides or do you stay with Jesus? I mean, the world's gone crazy. What are you doing? Do you pray for people or do you just get angry with them? How are you tackling your spiritual life? So these are the things that come up and the world says, why should I be a Christian? So the world loves what the church does, but it does not like Jesus. You know, the world will copy a lot of the things the church does. They'll say, okay, let's get together for a book club. For what? If you tell them, our church has fellowship, they say, but well, I can get fellowship in a book club somewhere. We get together every 2 weeks. You follow that? That's not exactly all you're going to call. You're going to call them to Jesus. That's what you're looking for. Does that make sense? If you say, well, the world sometimes wants to put down Jesus, but in real sense, they want everything the church does and say no to Jesus. How do they do that? They want the spiritual side without accountability. So we say, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, but I will not come to Jesus because your Jesus did X, Y, Z. And I say to you, no, we've got to address it. We've got to be there, but radically different. You know, there are sins in the world that are pretty, they're sins just like any other sins, but they're getting prevalent, and we'll talk about them in the future. How do you deal with these kinds of sins? Do you love people? Do you show them Jesus? Or do you become, devalue them and put them down? What are you doing? Are you judgmental or do you show Jesus? That becomes a question that we must begin to answer today. And I'm saying that because I feel that for the most part, these sins, but I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin and are greedy, cheat people. These sins can come very prevalent in our lives. Worship idols. I mean, idols can come in your life very easily. It's a job, it's money, it's a relationship, it's position, it's status. We feel just inadequate because of these things. Why should you feel inadequate because you drive an older car? Honestly? Why would you feel inadequate because you drive an old car? Jesus is enough for you. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a new car. Don't get me wrong. But it's not right to feel inadequate because you have something older. That is not right. You can get a new thing. That's not a bad thing. But to feel inadequate because something is not what the society has, that's a problem. Because where is Jesus in that? All of a sudden, the guy that creates whatever car you're craving has become your God. Now you're falling back. I mean, let's face it. For some of us, even our phones is our God. And we cannot even operate without a phone. If you don't have a phone, you go into a panic mode. You're like, oh my goodness, what will happen? I remember the other day going somewhere and telling this lady, let my daughter have the phone. I'm going to go without the phone. She panicked, literally. She followed running and says, take the phone, something can happen. She lost, no. And she said, I thought she was a Christian. She would tell me, I go to church. I said, I'll be fine. I'll drive without a phone. I grew up in the days when I would go without a phone and we'd figure it out somehow. What are you talking about? I left the phone anyway, and I drove carefully on the road because now she had put the fear in me of something will happen. Something may happen. I was as careful as I could be. Nothing. Conditioned to make the phone our God now. Let's face it. Many of us, even this morning, woke up and the first thing you touched was the phone. Not the Bible. Not prayer. The first thing you touched was the phone. Now I know your story. I wanted to know what time it is. I know your story. Do you really want to know the time? After the time, what did you do next? It wasn't about the time. It wasn't about the time. You've conditioned yourself to accept the phone all the time. We're always strolling, trying to figure out what's happening. And for some of us, we've mortgaged our esteem to how many people like us. If people don't like us, we're not happy. What happened to Jesus? You know, let me talk to the young guys if you're 18 and below. Please, listen to me. And I love you deeply. I love you deeply, so I have to say this because I don't want you to feel inadequate that people didn't like you. If God loves you, you are on a winning side. And then if your parents love you, you're winning like nobody's business. You should never feel ugly, lesser person, not smart, because your picture has only one liking, and that's you. It's an idol that makes you feel inadequate, that you're not pretty, that you're not smart enough. Oh, you are. You're created in the image of God, and there's nobody like you in the world. Do you understand that? Nobody like you. So you have a lot to offer, but the only way you will is if you find God and worship Him, and He will put His light in your life, and amazing things will happen. The culture has changed. It is true. There are people that today profess to be lesbian, homosexual. It's changed. Our role is not to judge them, it's to show Jesus. Our role is not to sit down and put down the people, devalue them, it's to show Jesus. That is our role. So when they come around you, don't act funny, weird. The Bible says, you need to be able to show them Jesus. If it's a disciple, that's a different story. We will talk about that. But today, the message is on how to win the world. The idols are many. The idols are many. You know, some of us have the idols of just not liking who we are. You don't like your body. You don't like your nose because you've made to believe all these things. That, you know, if you see the pictures they put up on the magazines and all that stuff, it costs a lot of money. The bill is like $2,000 to have that picture put there. And then you think that's the real thing. Oh, no, that is something they worked on. The real person just looks like you and I. Right. So you're forever discontented with who you are, a God-given body, created in the image of God. Why? Because you take a picture they put up there for sales and you say, I should be like that person. No, you're fine. Right. I've always said, I am happy for my height. I do not envy Perry one bit. I like the man. He's a tall guy. I like my height. When we walk together, I say, hey, you have a problem? Talk to this guy over here. When that happens, when you find God like that, two things happen. You show Jesus in an amazing way. God has put you in your life in that circumstance so that Jesus may be shown through you in that circumstance. Many of us are wishing a different play, a different life. No, your life is where God needs you to be so that you can show Jesus there. So quit being angry, upset with God, and hear God talk to you about what you will do in that place. What a wall of difference it would make to the world if disciples just showed Jesus more and less angry, upset about life. Now, I know we're human. We get angry. But you cannot be stuck with the anger for years, my brothers and sisters. There comes a time when you have got to let go. For how long? Well, you don't understand. I agree. I don't understand. But the Almighty God, Alpha and Omega, understands. And He's the source. Can you get involved with Him and you see how He starts healing you? Amen. That is where we must go. That's where we must go. We have to show Jesus. You see, the culture has changed. So must we change in how we talk about God. The place of judging and putting down doesn't help, but the place of showing Jesus is ripe, and the world is ripe for Jesus. They want to hear about Jesus. They're not angry with Jesus. They're angry with how we practice our faith. And that's where we got to get it right. How has culture changed? Let me just explain this very quickly. Just to give you a bit of academic work here. Premodernism, 1650, single source. Which single source simply meant that in those days we had the pagans and we had the church. So the source was God and the minister. You went to reach out to the pagans. That's how you dealt with that. Does that make sense? It was very simple during this time. Single source, God was the source, and the person was talking about God. After 1650 to the 1950s, modernism, that is, the universities and education became another source and began to compete for the truth and started saying relative truth and other kind of truth started coming up. Not saying that the Bible was wrong, but they were just trying to challenge the status quo of who God was. Does that make sense? And they began to fight for that. It's not new. I'm just showing you that what we're going through is not new. It's been there for a long time. And then postmodernism now, this, which is what we're living through right now, is that because I can get information on internet, I don't need to listen to you. Even though I don't know the authentication of that information, I don't need to listen to you. And we go into diffusing of authority. So the biggest thing that is happening right now is people fight the government, they fight Christianity because it's a strong authority in America, they fight parents, they fight husbands are fought. The role of men is neither here nor there. And because it's dysfunctioning, as families dysfunction, we are in disarray as a community. So we have to fight. This is the time for God to be shown in our families. This is the time to fight a single man, a single woman. That's the world is looking for that, even though they desperately try to fight it. This is what's going on. So we're right here in this corner. This is where we're going through. It's going very fast. And with this is that we tend to think there's alternative truth. No, God is God. There's no alternative to God. That's like saying there's alternative gravity. There's no alternative gravity. Even if you don't believe in gravity, you can wait for another 10, 15 years. You will see that gravity is winning. Look at your cheeks and you'll see where it's gone. Yeah, if you saw me at 14 and look at me now, you'll see that gravity is winning. I may tell myself at the mirror, I look the same. I say, well, honestly, you have white hair right now. Gravity wins eventually. The truth is that God is the source of everything. And we can fight that all we want. That's a principle. We embrace or fight. It's coming one way or another. We can justify, rationalize. But God is God. You're better off dealing with God head on than going around the games and finding out when you're 60 or 70 and saying, you know what, God was true, was real. This is the time to deal with God. And to the young generation, understand God is real. We may not be telling you in a perfect way, but God is real and you can find Him. You can find Him. Be patient. Walk through things and God will show you how to survive. Amen? 1 Corinthians 9, 12, 19 to 21. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jew to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who were under the law. When I am with the Gentiles, I do not follow the Jewish law. I too will live, but I will live apart from the law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. A lot is said. Here's what he says. With a Jew, I was trying to be like a Jew. With a Gentile, I was apart from the law, which was very do's and judging and don't, do's and don'ts, but I'm apart from that, I'm living like them. However, in both cases, I never moved away from God. The key thing is that whoever you interact with, you never move away from God. You seek to understand their conviction, their belief, but you never move away from God. But it's not our role to judge and put down. It's our role to show Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? My prayer this morning is to help you to see that for us to be effective in reaching out to the world, it's not about just passing the card. That actually is diminishing effectively. What people want to see is, how different are you? How do I experience you? And they can tell a fake from the authentic, a spiritual from the manipulated spiritual. They can tell that. How do they know that? Because they are the masters of their world. We are from the spiritual world. If you go into their world, they know you're faking it. They have been there all their lives. We need to be with God. When we understand that, God's name is glorified. We need to grow. It's a growth process. And we will begin to be more effective. God bless you.